Jewish audio on Kabod.org.
This class is presented by Rabbi Leib Shapiro. Rabbi Leib Shapiro, a noted Talmudic scholar, is the dean of the Yeshiva Gedolah Rabbinical College of Greater Miami, the rabbi of Congregation Beis Menachem, and a community leader in Miami Beach, Florida.
The topic tonight is going to be the Jewish Torah view on astrology. The word astrology we know is an English word, but the truth is that in the Gemara and in the Midrashim, it is also called astrology, just the pronunciation is a little different. It's called astrologia. That's what it's called. And the reason for that title is because the word astar means a star. As in English, the word star comes from the word astar. And I guess that's in Aramaic also. So a person who looks into the stars, Greek, but it's probably Aramaic also because in the Gemara they use these words. So a person who is able to look into the stars, as we call them, the Kechovim u'mazolois. Kechovim are stars, mazolois are the constellations, and is able to see what is, so to speak, written in the stars, the prediction that is there and the things that are written there that are going to happen, whether it is concerning things that are going to happen in the future or concerning different people. When a person is born under a certain star, a certain nature that the person might have, certain characteristics a certain might have. So a person that is able to do that is called an astrolog, an astrologer. In English we would call him an astrologer. We do find in the Gemara and in Medroshim many places references to this concept of astrology. Now, you've made myself a list here of some of the places, just to read the different places where we find, whether it's in the Gemara or in the Medroshim, concerning astrology. In one Medrash called Psikta Rapsa, it says that the Chochmat B'nei Kedem, it says that in the time of Shlomo HaMelech was the smartest of all, even smarter than the people from the Bnei Kedem. And what was the greatest chokhmah, the greatest wisdom of the Bnei Kedem? So it says that they were great astrologers. That's what the Medrash says. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Tezayin, says, and the Posik, where it says, Hashem beirach es Avrom bakel, and Hashem blessed Avrom with everything. So the Gemara says, Itztagninus g'day lahoye b'liboy. He had great astrology in his heart. Which, by the way, another word for astrology in the Gemara is Itztagninus. And an astrologer is called Itztagnin, or an astrolog. So it says there, when Hashem blessed Avram with everything, it says Itztagninus g'day lahoye b'liboy. He had great astrology in his heart. And all the kings from all sides of the world would come to Avraham Avinu to ask him questions about the mazolis, to look into the mazolis, into the constellations for them. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Vov says that Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, and Hashem promised him that he's going to have a son. Hashem said to Avraham, Ribbeinu Shelenu, Reya ani b'itztagninu sheli she'eini melit. I see in my astrology that I will not be able to have any children. Omer le'akadosh baruch, Hashem said to him, Sei me'itztagninu shelo. Go out of your astrology. Actually, Rashi Chumash brings it when Hashem said, Sei, come out. And Hashem showed him, look at the stars, and just like you see so many stars, that's how much your children are going to be. So one of the pshatim is taken from this Gemara, go out from where? So go out from your itztagninus, from your astrology. Because you see, according to the stars, that you won't be able to have children. So I'm telling you, go beyond the stars, and I'm going to go beyond, and you're going to see. So here we see that Avraham Avinu had astrology. It says in the Gemara Seita, concerning the people of Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, that the Egyptians were very much into astrology. And it says, for instance, when Pare made the Gzeira, the decree, Kol Abena Yiloid Hayoret Ashlechu, that any son that's born, throw him into the river, the reason was, because the astrologers, the Gemara says, saw that Mashiach Shal Yisrael, the one that's going to save the Yidden, will be judged through water, will be punished through water. So they thought, in that case, maybe now, the one that's going to be born, let's throw him into the water, because we see that he's going to be punished by water, and that's how we're going to get rid of him. So we see here that they saw through astrology, which is something that they actually saw. Then also it says, in Chumash, that Parai said, when the Yidden asked him to leave, Kiroh neged pneichem, he said, I see evil in front of your eyes, in front of your face. What he meant was, you want to go out to the desert, I'm telling you, I see blood. I see in the stars that you're going to have blood. And that was a mistake, because really what he saw was that when the Eden entered Eretz Yisroel, they all were circumcised and they were bleeding. That's what he saw. But he did see something. So here again we see Pare himself was a great star astrologer. The Gemara there, in the same Sicht and Saita, the Gemara says that Yosef heirit itzagnini Pare mibdolosan. That Yosef lowered the level of the astrologers of Pare from their position. Because Pare called the astrologers to interpret his dream. And they weren't able to do it and he did. So he lowered their level. So here again we see that Pare had astrologers and he called them to interpret the dream. And because they weren't able to, so their level was lowered. But we see here reference to astrology. In Medrash, in Bereishis Rabba, it says that why did the wife of Potiphar start up with Yosef? Wants to marry Yosef because she saw with her astrology that there will be a child that's going to come out of Yosef with her, from her. She made a mistake because really it was her daughter, and that's the one that married Yosef. Osnas was the daughter of the wife of Potiphar, so she made a mistake. But she did see something with the astrology. The Gemara in a different place in Saita says that when Pare was about to appoint Yosef as the ruler of Mitzrayim. So the Itztagnine Pare, the stargazers of Pare, said to Pare like this, Eved Shalokhe Rabbe Be'esin Kesev, Tam Shelei Oleinu. We see in the stars that this is a person that was bought as a slave with 20 pieces of silver. And him you're going to make a ruler over us. How do they know this? No one knew how much the people who bought him, the Ishmaelim who bought him from the brothers of Yahamash, they paid. They played Esim Kosev, but they saw it in astrology. It says in Melochim, as I mentioned before, Vatirbesh Chochma Shleimim Chochmas Kol Bnei Kedem, that the Chochma of Shleimim was greater than the Chochma of Kol Bnei Kedem. So it says that they were great astrologers, as I said before, and Shleimim was even smarter than them. It says in Ovid Rav Nosson, I'm quoting this from Midrashim, concerning Haman. Haman istralog gadol hayo. Haman was a great astrologer. It says in Medrash Rabbo, in Bereishis Rabbo, it says that the goyim at those times, when they used to buy a slave, they used to come to an astrologer with a slave and ask him, is this slave going to be successful or not? Tell me, look into the stars. And they would tell him. It says in Yerushalmi, Avodah Zarah, it says, a story with a certain barber that he saw in astrology that the Yidden are going to spill his blood. He was very upset, so he killed many Yidden. Being a barber, having the knife in his hand, killed many Yidden. His mistake was, eventually he converted, and they circumcised him, and a Jew let blood out. And that was his mistake. But still we see that there was something that he saw, the astrology that he saw. So here we see all that we find in the Chazal and the Chachomim many references to the concept of astrology, which is the Chochmah of looking into the stars and seeing the future, or seeing things that happened from before, seeing things that we do not see with our naked eye out here. The question that comes up is there any truth in what they say? And we're talking about the Torah point of view, which is obviously the true point of view. Is there any truth in what they say? And are we allowed to rely on what they say? Now concerning whether there is truth in what they say, it seems from the Gemara that there is. Because we find a Gemara, which is also a Gemara in Shabbos, in the same section that we mentioned before, the story of the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. Everyone knows the story. That the daughter of Akiva once walked by and one of the astrologers was sitting, and they said to each other, that this girl is going to die the day of her wedding. And the day of her wedding came, and a poor man came to the house, was hungry. There was nobody that had time to help him, because they were all busy with the wedding. And she herself, the Kala, walked over to him and she gave him food. And that night, she went, after the wedding, she went to sleep. As she went to sleep, she took her pin and stuck it into the wall like they used to do. And the morning when she woke up and she slept, pulled her pin out from the wall, a snake came out of it with the pin straight into the head of the snake. In other words, if not for what she did, the snake would have bitten her that night and she would have died. And the Gemara says it's the schus of tzedakah that she did the day of her wedding that she was saved. So here we see that we do, there is something there, there is truth in what the astrologers say. We find the other story in the Gemara, that the mother of Rav Nachman, famous Chacham, the Chachamim, famous Amir Rav Nachman, once was walking while she was pregnant with her son Rav Nachman. She overheard two astrologers saying, to see this woman, the child that she's carrying is going to grow up to be a thief. And she heard it. And because of that, from the moment her son was born, she covered his head with a yarmulke. And she said this would be a symbol of Yira Shamayim. That's, by the way, the source that wearing a yarmulke gives a person Yira Shamayim. Gives the person fear of God. And some say that this is even the reason why we call it yarmulke. Where's the word yarmulke come from? Hey, like kippah. Kippah means a cover, like a, what's it called? No, yeah. No, kippah, like a cap. Kippah. It's a dome. So it looks like a dome. That's why it's called a kippah. But why is it called yarmulke? So some say it's made up of two words. Yira malka. Malka is the king. In Aramaic, malka is the king. Yira malka means fear of the king. So it's called a yarmulke. This makes fear. This gives yira shamayim. So what happened was, she kept the yarmulke on him all the time. Once his yarmulke fell off. Rav Nachman himself said when his yarmulke fell off, he felt an urge to steal. So this shows that what they predicted actually was true. We find in the Gemara, in Shabbos, a whole section of things that will happen to a person, what kind of person he will be, depending on under which star he was born. Which day, at which time, which star he was born. We find that certain times, the Mazel Madim, the constellation Madim, which actually they say is Mars, when that is overhead, that's stronger, and a person is born under that Mazel, especially on Friday night, will grow up to be a Reitzeach, a murderer. And therefore, a person who's born then should try to be a Sheikhet, or a male, because it shows that he will spill blood. One of the reasons why we don't make Kiddush Friday night, and Minik Chabad is so that we don't make Kiddush Friday night between 6 and 7, and wine, some say it's red wine, but I don't know if there's a source to it. But the reason is because it has to do with this mazel. That because of this mazel, it is an unlucky time, a bad time, to make Kiddush then. So we see from here that there is something in the mazolis, in the constellations, and in this astrology. The Gemara also says, Hakoil toloi b'mazel. Everything depends on the mazel. Now we are used to translating the word mazel as luck. But the Gemara, that mazel really means the mazolis, the constellations are called the mazolis, mazel. Hakoil toloi b'mazel, everything depends on the mazel. Ba'afila sefer teire shebehechol. Even the sefer teire in the Oren Kodesh also depends on the mazel, which means that when you open the Oren Kodesh, and there are five sefer teires, and you could take out whichever one you want, and you come over and you choose one, why did you choose this one? It has to do with the mazel of this sefer teire. It doesn't mean, well, this sefer teire was lucky. It's not luck. There are mazolis, and the mazel caused that this sefer teire should be taken out. I always tell this story. I remember once by the Rebbe, when after they wrote, they finished Mashiach sefer teire, the sefer teire was written that this will be the sefer teire to greet Mashiach. So certain Shabbosim, the Rebbe would tell the Gabbai that Shabbos they should read from this Sefer Torah. And there's one Shabbos that gave over that this is the Sefer Torah they should read. And when they were Mechabit, somebody with Psiche, the person went over to Doron Kodesh. For some reason, or they forgot to tell him that the Rebbe said to take out Mashiach Sefer Torah, or they told him and he forgot, he took out a different Sefer Torah. As he took out the other Sefer Torah, someone ran over to him, I think it was Rabbi Mehalik, ran over to him and he said, no, 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 no. The Mashiach Sefer Torah. And the Rebbe would always stand, when they took out his Sefer Torah, would stand on next to his standard and look, watch the person. And the Rebbe saw this Gabbai walk, run over and say, no, this is not Sefer Torah, and he was about to put it back. The Rebbe said, now you can't put it back. Hakol toli v'mazel. Afil Sefer Torah shebeheichol. So if this was taken out, never use these words. Hakol toli v'mazel. Afil Sefer Torah shebeheichol. Even the Sefer Torah. Obviously, this is the mazel, and this is not supposed to come out. But what do we see from here? That there is truth. It seems to be truth in what it's in the mazolos, and also that we do certain things according to what it says in the mazolos. The Gemara even says more. The Gemara says, "Chaye bone chaye mezena lav b'schusa tal yemilse levamazla tal yemilse." Bone chaye mezena. Bone means children. Chaye means life, which is health. Mezena, which is parnosa, livelihood, doesn't depend on eschus. It depends on mazel. Which means in the mazolos. So we see from here, again, that there is a concept of mazolos that we have to take in consideration. So obviously there is truth in astrology. On the other hand, we know the famous saying of the Chazal, Ein mazel Yisrael. That there is no mazel to the Yidden. The Yidden don't depend on mazel. Here it says, Hakoil tolev mazel. Everything depends on the mazel. So everything that happens down here depends on what it says in the mazolos. And it says, Ein mazel Yisrael. There is no mazel to Yidden. Not only that, the Gemara is in Sochim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The Gemara says, Menayim she'ein she'alim likuldoyim. How do we know that we are not allowed to go to these astrologers and ask him to tell you the future or predict or give you some advice? Shenamar, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, Tomim tiyem Hashem alekecha. You should be, Tommy means complete, means sincere, simple, with Hashem. But al tachti rachar asidus, don't go look for the future, don't go to these to ask him. So on one hand it seems that there is some truth there. It would seem, we don't know. But it says don't go to them. Tomim tiyem Hashem alekecha. So, is there some truth in it or not? Are we allowed to rely on what it says there or not? Well, here we quote the Gemara where it says clearly that we're not allowed to go to them. So which one is it? Now, the truth is like this, that we're not allowed to go to them is no question. It's a halacha that we're not allowed to go to astrologers to get advice from them. But we find an argument between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether there is any truth to what they say. The Rambam says that it's all Bobamises. There is no such thing, and what they say doesn't mean anything. And we are not allowed to go to them. And the reason we're not allowed to go to them is because there is nothing there. It's all shtusim. We have to rely on Hashem, and that's what he is supposed to do. But there's nothing there. On the other hand, the Ramban says no. The Ramban says that there is truth to it. There is truth to what it says in the stars, and what the astrologers say is true. And we're still not allowed to go to them. Because the Pasuk says, Tomim tiyem Hashem alekecha, you should be sincere with Hashem. So the Pasuk says, don't look for the future. Don't look into these things which are beyond. And don't follow what they say. The Ramban does say that if for some reason we do know somehow what is written in the stars, we have to consider it, because it's true. See, this is the difference between the Rambam and the Ramban. It's not only in understanding the idea that according to the Rambam there is no truth in it, and the Ramban there is. But the bottom line, they're both the same, because according to both, you're not allowed to follow them. It's not only that, it's more than that. According to the Rambam, even if someone happens to tell you, and you happen to know that this is this, what the stars say are going to happen, according to the Rambam, don't care. Because it's all shtusim, it's bobamaisis, there's nothing true, it's not true. But according to the Ramban, it's not so, it is true. You are not allowed to go there, and you're not allowed to ask them to follow them. But if something happens to be known, as we see, the mother of Rav Nachman knew from astrology that her son will be a thief, so she acted upon it. She made sure to cover his head, which at that time not everyone did. So we see that you could, that's what the Ramban says. So generally speaking, there is this machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban. Again, that the Rambam holds that there is no truth to astrology, the Ramban holds there is. They both hold that we're not allowed to go to them. What we have to really understand is, what is the meaning behind the opinion of the Rambam? We do find, as we said before, different places in the Gemara where it tells us things that the astronomers said, the astrologers said, and they were true. So how could the Rambam say that there is no truth in what the astrologers say? Now the Ramban's opinion, we understand. He says it's not true, but the Torah doesn't want you to follow them. That's understood. But to say that it's not true, what does the Rambam mean? Besides the question that we asked before, that we find contradictions. It says, "Ein mazal Yisrael." There is no mazal to Eden. And here it says, the other Maimon Chazal says that there is. Hakul tolu b'mazal. Everything depends on the mazal. So which one is it? The general upshot is, the general inyan is like this. What it says in the mazalos is true. Not clear, vague, but what it says there is true, as we see from all the stories in the Gemara and the Midrashim. But a Yid is not allowed to follow it anyway, because a Yid is able to change the mazal. A Yid has the power, through tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, through repentance, through prayer, through giving charity, tzedakah, a Yid is able to change it. And that's what we mean, ein mazal Yisrael, there is no mazal to Yid. Not that there is no such thing as mazal. Hakol tolu b'mazal, everything depends on the mazal. But a Yid should realize that ein mazal, he should not care about the mazal, because he has the power to change it. And that concept that a Yid has the power to change the mazal is actually hinted in the same saying of the Chazal, ein mazal Yisrael. Chassidus explains that the words ein mazal Yisrael mean not only as the simple meaning ein means not. Mazal Yisrael, there is not, there is no mazal to the Yidin. That's not what the pshat is. Not only, that's the simple pshat, but there's a deeper pshat. Ein mazal Yisrael. You know what the mazal of Yidin is? Ein. Ein, there is a level called Ein. Api Kabbalah, according to Kabbalah, there is a spiritual level called Ein. Usually when we talk about the creation of the world, we say the world is made Yesh, Mei, Ayin. Ayin and Ein is the same word, Yesh, Mei, Ayin. Something from Ayin, from nothing. What do we mean, something from nothing? The world was made something from nothing. Everything comes from Hashem. Hashem is the real something. If anything, the world is nothing. And Hashem is something. So why do we say Yesh, Mei, Ayin? So one of the interpretations is that Hashem is referred to as Ayin. Because as far as what we could see with our physical eyes, with our eyes of flesh, we do not see Hashem, so that's Ayin. But Hashem is called Ayin. So Ein Mazal Yisrael means that the Mazal of Yidin is Ein. That means a Yid is able to reach through his Tshuvet, Tefillah, and Tzedakah to the level of Hashem who is beyond the Mazalos, and therefore not to be affected. So normally the Mazalos do affect a Yid, but he's able to go beyond it. He's able to reach a level of Ein. It's similar to the famous Pshat in Chassidus also, when it says in Pirkei Avos, Akavi b'malal lo leimer, Akavi b'malal says, Istakel b'shloisha dvorim, ve'ein atar boli de aveira. You should look at the three things and you will not come to do an aveira. Da, me'ayin boso, ulo'onat aheilech, ve'lifnimiyat osid likim din v'chesh. You should know from where you came, where you're going to, and who you're going to have to give a din v'chesh, a report to. So Chassidus, and then he goes on to explain what it means, where you came from, what's going to happen to you. But Chassidus says, Da you should know, may Ayin Bosa, not from where you came. You came from Ayin. Every Yid's Neshama comes from Hashem, who is called Ayin. Yesh, may Ayin, Ayin is Hashem. And it's Hashem the way he's beyond the creation. That's where every Yid comes from. Da you should know, may Ayin Bosa, you came from Ayin. And you know, which level we're going back? Ula onat ahelech. There's another title for Hashem in a different level that's called on. Ula on. You go to the level of on. And you know for which level you're going to have to give a dimecheshbim. Belief name me. And there's a level called me. A Kabbalistic level in godliness called me. And you will have to give a dimecheshbim report to the level called me. Me. Which is all within the same category. On, ayin, and on, and me, they're all within the same category, but different points, different levels. We find this level me someplace else, just to mention that even though it's not important for our subject, it says when, by Matan Torah, when the Yidden, after they heard the first two dibres, the first two saying statements from Hashem, they got very scared and they said, we can't listen anymore. So Moshe told Hashem the Yidden are afraid. So Hashem said, okay, in that case, from now on, I'll tell you and you speak to them. And Moshe Rabbeinu said he was upset. Here the Yidden have a chance to hear from Hashem. And here they're asking, we don't want to hear from Hashem. But Hashem told him, I'm happy. All it shows is that they're afraid of me. Me yitein v'hoyo levovam ze le'yira eisi kol hayomim. Simple chat. Me yitein. Who could give? Who could make? That they should have this fear all their life. They have fear of me. Fine. I'm happy. But Chassidus says that the word me yitein means not as a question, me, who could give. It's a fact. A statement. Me yitein. There's a level called me. And from this level of me yitein that gives that the Yidden have their heart to fear Hashem. Because from the level of me, we get help to fear Hashem. Normally we know, Hakol bidei shamayim chutz mi yira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of Hashem except yira shamayim. Yira shamayim is in our hands. Nevertheless, the Pasuk says, me yitein, the level of me could give, that we should have yira shamayim. So this is this level of me. So we have the level of me, the level of on, the level of ayin. That's the pshat, ein mazal Yisrael. That the mazal of Yidden is ein. Now it doesn't take away from the simple pshat that there is a mazal and that is and that it influences even the Yidden. Hakol tolei b'mazal, everything depends on the mazalis. But at the same time, you have to remember that we're not affected. Because we are able to change it. And this is the pshat in the posik. There's a posik in Tanakh that says, Me'eisois ha-shamayim al teichatu. Ki yichatu ha-goyim meheimo. From the signs of the Shamay of the heaven, do not be afraid. Ki yichatu ha-goyim meheimo. The goyim have to be afraid. What does that mean? The eisois ha-shamayim, the signs of heaven, refers to the stars. And the Pasuk says, don't be afraid of what it says in the stars. Not because it's not true. You just don't be afraid. The goyim have to be afraid because they have no power of tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah that is able to change it. But you are able to change it, so don't be afraid. Now, to explain this a little bit more in detail, let's go back to something that we spoke about many times, and that is to the concept of Avodah Zorah. We're going to discuss Avodah Zorah, idol worship. In Gemara and in Rashi, many places, when it refers to idol worship, it's called Avodah Kechovim Mazolos. The worship of the stars and the constellations. Because that was the main type of idol worship that existed in those days. And the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zorah comes to explain how did this whole concept of idol worship come about to be. We imagine idol worship that a person would take a rock, make it carve out into some image, and bow down to it and say, "Ooh, you are my God, you are my God." I don't know what they say. We think of it as not normal people. Which Meshuganer is going to bow down to a rock and say, "You are my God"? Why be crazy? This is his God. How could a rock be his God? I mean, what kind of seichel is behind it? And the Rambam explains it's not so Meshuganer. They had a logic. It was wrong, but it had a logic. The logic was the stars and the mazoles contain everything is going to happen to this world. It does. And they are mashpia. They influence the things that happen to this world. And therefore, when the people knew that, they were very smart. And they were able to look into the stars. And they were able to see the hashpot influence the stars and the constellations have. Besides the physical influence of the sun giving light, which is something that we can see with our eyes, the sun giving heat, the moon giving light, and whatever the moon gives and to make things grow, they were able to see deeper. So to them, because they saw that the stars have the power of giving different things, so they said, let's bow down to the stars. And it wasn't because they didn't believe in Hashem. They believed in Hashem, the Rambam says. But they thought that Hashem had given over certain departments of his work to the stars, the constellations, and now they're in charge. So if they're in charge, so if you want something, you have to turn to the stars because the stars will give it to you, so you ask the stars to give you. So they started praying to the stars. And then when they got something that they were happy with, you have to say thank you. So who do you thank? So they thank the stars. Now what happened if a guy decided that he wants to pray to the stars or to the sun or to the moon at night? And the sun is not out. So what they used to do is they used to make an image out of wood or out of rock of the sun, of the stars. And at night, he would pray to it, which would symbolize his prayer to the sun. That's how it developed. So originally, this was in their mind. Eventually, the next generation forgot the whole source. And to them, it seemed as if they're bowing down to a rock. And that's how it continued. Now, what we're saying here is that this is what they saw. What they saw was true. So what was wrong? Their mistake was not that the stars don't influence. That is not true. The stars do influence and are mashpia. Their mistake was that they thought that the stars have their own power and they could give on their own. In truth, it's not so. It's only kegarzim v'yadachetz, they're only vessels in the hands of Hashem. Hashem uses the stars to give us everything that He wants. So it's not they that give, it's Hashem who gives. And the example given of the garzim v'yadachetz means the axe in the hand of the chopper. Just like when a person chops down the tree and he uses a tool, he uses an axe. And it's clearly the axe that did it. But can we say the axe gets credit for it? Can someone say to the axe, please chop down my tree? Or after the axe chopped down the tree, you say thank you to the axe. The axe is only a tool in the hand of the person. So you ask the person to do it. You thank the person. Here also the stars are only tools in the hands of Hashem. And they have no say whatsoever. They're not the boss. They're not doing it. And the truth is not only are they not doing it, they're not even partners. Because when you have two partners, so even though one might be a stronger partner, the other one is a lesser partner, but the one, as long as he's a partner, he has a say. And sometimes when there is a dispute between two partners, sometimes one partner wins and sometimes the other partner wins. So he has some kind of control. In this case, they have no control whatsoever. It's all Hashem using them as tools. But they make that mistake. So the whole idea is that we do see from here that the stars have something, but we can't rely on what is there because it's only the hands of Hashem. Since what the stars contain is only because Hashem put it in, so therefore by us turning to Hashem and doing tshuva or tzedakah or tefillah or bechlal doing any mitzvah, this reaches into Hashem, and therefore since Hashem is the boss, Hashem is the one that made it, so certainly he could change it. Hashem is the boss of what is in the stars. He created it. Not only he created it once, he keeps on creating it every minute. So every second, the second that the star is there now, and there is something in the star that shows what's going to happen, the prediction to what's going to happen in the world, it's all because Hashem is making it now. And a minute later, he's going to continue recreating it again. So who says that he has to create it the way it was before? He could create it now in a way to be different. But the only thing is, we have to do something that will make him want to change it. See, he created the world with a certain nature. And if things go the way it is, it'll continue with that nature. So in order for Hashem to change the nature of the stars, we have to do something, and that is tshuvah, tefillah, tzedakah, and then we change it. And this is different, let me explain, different than the regular nature of the world. The truth is what I just explained till now is in everything. It's concerning any natural thing in the world. Anything that's there is in the hands of Hashem. Hashem keeps on creating the whole world. Hashem gives the world its nature. Hashem makes everything happen. And Hashem is not limited to the limitations of nature. He could change it. But still, we say you got to be careful. You got to take in consideration what nature tells you. As a matter of fact, there is a law, halacha, ein semchen al hanes, that you're not allowed to rely on miracles. So you can't rely on miracles. Why? Because naturally it's like this, even though Hashem could do miracles. And we could say the same thing, that Hashem is not limited and he could do whatever he wants. So then why don't we rely on miracles? Why do we take in consideration nature? But that's what Hashem wanted. Hashem wants us to take in consideration nature because he made it. So then why can't the same thing happen concerning the stars? Since naturally it's in the stars, so we should take into consideration and act upon what we told it says in the stars. The difference is like this, that the nature that's here is revealed. Whatever Hashem revealed to us as open nature, Hashem says this is the way the world runs, and I want you to follow the laws of nature. It doesn't mean that you can't hope for a nest. And if something happens to a person that naturally it doesn't seem like he's going to succeed, he has to have bitachon, trust Hashem, and Hashem is not limited to nature. And Hashem can make a miracle. And that's how we're supposed to believe. But at the same time, we're supposed to take consideration nature and behave accordingly, because that's the way Hashem wants it, because it's revealed. What's written in the stars, we don't see. And if we don't see, obviously Hashem did not give it to us as a revealed way. And therefore Hashem says, don't care what it says there. Because even if it says there, do tshuva tefillah tzedakah, and you'll go beyond it. And even though normally we say we have to go along with nature, ain't seimchen al nes, we can't rely on miracles, in this case we could. In this case of the stars, we could do it. Because here it's different, because here is something that Hashem did not give us. But those things which Hashem revealed to us, for whatever reason he had, the Gemara revealed to us that these are things that are there in the stars, we have to follow them. We have to work accordingly. Why is it that Friday night we don't make Kiddush? Because of something that has to do with the stars. I would say we don't rely on it. But this is something that for some reason, Hashem wanted us to know that this is the nature of the stars. All the different things that the Gemara tells us about the stars. And because of that, we behave in a certain way. Or wants us to know because for some reason, they're revealed. So they are normal nature. Really, and again I'm trying to explain it, really what's in the stars is as much nature as everything else. And it's true, whatever it says there is naturally true. And if it says there, it's going to happen naturally. And in order for it not to happen, a miracle has to take place. But Hashem says, I want you to rely on the miracle and do tshuva and be sure that that miracle will take place. Unlike nature of the world, because nature of the world that we see, I showed you. And if I showed you, I want you to behave that way. But no contradiction to bitachon. If you see naturally it won't work, you gotta have bitachon and daven and do mitzvah, so I'll make a miracle. But originally you have to follow it. But the nature that's in the stars, which is something that's hidden, unless I tell you that it's low, then don't rely on it and don't care about it. But those things that we do, and therefore in the case where Reb Nachman's mother actually heard and she knew it's true, and she had to act upon it to do something to overcome it. But otherwise, we shouldn't go to these people to find out. Why? Because even if we'll find out, it makes no difference, because we could do tshuva tefillah tzedakah. So therefore, we should constantly do tshuva tefillah tzedakah, and then the nature of the constellations won't affect us. And I'll explain just another moment. When we do tshuva tefillah tzedakah, or mitzvahs, how do we go beyond nature? Didn't Hashem create nature? And Hashem created nature in a certain way that it should stay. So how can we do things that should change the nature? This is the will of God. The will of Hashem is that things should happen naturally. So how do we do it that we should make a change? It's as if changing Hashem's plan or Hashem's will. The answer is just in short, a little bit of chassidus, a little bit of more Kabbalistic inyanim. The connection of Hashem to the world has two ways. And to use the Chassidish terminology is Seviv Kalalmin and Mamala Kalalmin. Seviv Kalalmin is Hashem who surrounds the world very generally, and his connection is in general way, and Mamala Kalalmin is the connection is in a more specific way. And I'll explain it in simpler terms. Mamala Kalalmin, Mem Mem Lamet Aleph, Kol Kof Lamet, Almin, Ayin Lamet, Mem Yud Nun. And the second one is Seiviv, called Almin. Samach, Vav, Veiz, Veiz. Surrounds. What it means is, in simpler terms, Hashem himself is completely beyond the creation. In order for Hashem to create a world, he had to put himself, to use kibiyachal simple terms that we could relate to, in a frame of mind, to connect himself to the concept of a world, which is something completely not connected to him, because a world is an entity that's separate from him. So he, Hashem himself, as far as he's concerned, there's no such thing as a world. So he had to, first of all, put himself, generally speaking, to a frame of mind that there will be a world. And then, there is a process of how the world was created through Seder Ishtalshelus. His connection, his first connection to the world, which is the general idea that he wants there should be a world, which makes it, puts into himself a concept of a world, that's called Seder Kalam. So he's connected to the world in a very general way that there is a world. Then specifically, when he starts making a Seder Ishtalshel at me specifically, he starts creating one world and another world, and it gets lower and lower and lower, less light and less light and less light of Hashem, and different worlds are created, and as it goes on, the worlds become lower and lower and lower, till finally there was created this Seder of Kalami, this Elam Hazai, which is the lowest world. So Mamala Kalami refers to Hashem as he is connected to every single world specifically. Seder of Kalami is Hashem's general connection to the world, which is beyond the specifics of every world. Which is, given a more emotional example, when you have a person, a great scholar, and he has deep ideas which are far, far beyond an ordinary person to understand. And he decides he wants to explain it to a person. So there are two stages here. Number one, he has to put himself in the frame of mind of wanting to connect to a student. Because on his own, he's far beyond, what does he have to do with students? He has in his own mind, he doesn't have anything to do with simple folks who are removed from him. So he puts himself in a frame of mind that now he's going to connect himself to other people. And then he starts the process of taking his deep ideas and bringing it down, and first to a level that only great scholars could understand, then it goes lower to other people can understand, finally a simple person could understand. And the same thing with Hashem. He first has the Seder Kalam and then the Mamala Kalam. Now when a person normally lives in this world, the connection we have to Hashem is Mamala Kalam. Because Hashem, the process was, and eventually came down, that there is a world as we have it, and that's the connection that we have to Hashem, the way He is, in this specific world, in this specific level, which is a very low level of godliness. When a Yid does tshuva, or tefillah, or tzedakah, what he does is, he's able to connect himself, not to the level of Mamala Kalamin, which is Hashem, the way he is contracted, so to speak, to the level of this world, but the way he is completely, completely beyond in the first level of connection, where Hashem just decided to connect himself to the world, which is a very general connection, and all the limitations of the different levels do not apply there. So normally, the nature applies to us, because that's part of the way Hashem contracted himself and mitzamtzem himself to nature, so we live with nature. But if we're able to do something that should bypass it all, we have a bypass, and we pass by all these levels, and we go directly straight up to Hashem as Seder Kalamin, then these limitations don't count. And therefore, all the limitations that are there in the nature, including in the stars, will not work. Just also to use an example for that too, the example would be, it says when a person, it says, that when a person faints, almost like in a coma, and you try to revive him and nothing works, the next thing to do is, you should call him by his name, whisper his name into his ear. And that is an eitzah, an advice, a zgula, how to bring it back. And it works, not always, but many times it works. So let's understand, what did we do here? Why is this person in a, why did he faint? But he fainted, he's still alive. He's still alive, it means that his chayas is still there, his life is still there. What's missing is that the life has to come into every individual part of the body and work according to what that part of the body is supposed to do. And that doesn't work. Because in the human being, we have the same thing. We have the nefesh, and this nefesh is supposed to come into the goof, into the body. There are two stages. There is Seder Kalami and Mamala Kalami, similar. There is first the general level that the nefesh stands in the level of coming into the body, very general. And that is called Chayas Kloli, the general life. The fact that a person is alive, that's the general connection between the nefesh and the body. I'm afraid to say anything, a doctor here. Then we have the part of the nefesh that goes into each part specifically. Into the brain comes in a certain part, and into the eyes another part, and another part. When a person faints, see, when a person dies, God forbid, that means that the nefesh left the body completely. But if a person faints, the nefesh is still there. If he's still there, so how come his eyes don't work? How come his brain doesn't work? What happened was, the nefesh left that second level, the level that it goes into every specific part of the body and does the function of that part of the body. It left and came back only to the first level, which is the general connection that the person's nefesh has to the body. So he's still alive. And it doesn't function. Because only the seiviv is there, the general, chayis kloli, the general life, but not what we call chayis proti, the individual life. When we whisper the name, what it says is, in order to bring back that the nefesh should start functioning in each individual part, we have to find something that will help us reach directly into that higher level. Because usually when we deal with a person, we don't deal with that highest klali, with that general highest. We deal, when the doctor, he deals with the eyes, he deals with the head, he deals with all the different parts of the body, the way the nefesh is involved in that individual part, specific part. Here, that doesn't work. So when we're going to reach into any part of the nefesh the way it's in the specific parts, we won't accomplish anything, because in that part, it's not there. In order to bring it back, we have to reach all the way into the highest klali, the general highest, which is still there, the person is still alive, because if it's not there, you can't revive him, but if it's still there, and we reach into there, and we try to draw it out from there, bring it back, it should come into the different parts of the body. So one of the eights is that we say the name. The same thing is kibiyochel with us and Hashem. If we're only connected to Hashem the way He is limited in the limitations of this world, the way He put Himself in limitations, so then we are limited to these limitations. Say that it's not true, that there's nothing to astrology. When we find so many times in the Gemara and the Midrashim that there is such a thing. The Rambam does not mean there is no truth to it. The Rambam was in such a high level that the Rambam, to begin with, looked at everything from the level of this aim. He went, since he knew that the Yid is able to change it through Tfilah, Tshuva, Tzedakah, and if you're at such a high level, to begin with, you don't care about it as if it doesn't exist. So in his level, basically, it didn't exist. In his level, there was nothing there because you're beyond it. It's similar to the famous story they tell about the Rambam. There's another thing that the Rambam writes, which is also very strange, and everyone argues against the Rambam. The Rambam writes, there is no such thing as Shadim. There's no such thing as demons. And every Mefeirish, all the commentaries argue on the Rambam, they say, how could you say such a thing when there are literally hundreds of places in the Chazal, in the Gemara, and the Midrashim, that talk about Shadim. So how could you say there's no such thing as Shadim? And there are all kinds of explanations, but there is a story told that the people, some of the other Chachamim who were arguing with the Rambam, not only tried to prove it to him from the Gemara, they wanted to prove it to him physically. There was a house in the city that Rambam lived, there was a house at the end of the city which was a ghost house. It was empty, and everyone knew that there are shadim there. People were afraid to go there, anybody who went there got hurt. There were shadim, so they said to the Rambam, you know what, you claim there are no shadim, we'll show you. So the Rambam said, fine, I'm ready to see. So they took the Rambam there, and what happened was, when the Rambam came, they disappeared. The Rambam walked in, no shadim, said, you see no shadim. The Kedusha of the Rambam was so great that His Holiness made them disappear. Same thing here. The Rambam's level was so great that to him, when he said that it's not true, he meant the same thing we could say that the Ramban meant. He just looked at it in different words. To him, because of that high level that we don't care and we're able to overcome with the Mazolis, so he was there to begin with. He says there is nothing there. So the bottom line is, we have to remember that astrology is true and there is a lot to it, but we are not allowed to go ask. If someone happens to know something, he should do extra tefillah, extra tshuva, because if he knows, obviously Hashem revealed it to him, then it becomes nature. And there are certain things that the Chachamim revealed to us because that's what Hashem wanted. So that is nature and we have to take it in consideration and work accordingly, but not to worry about it. Why? Because a Yid has the power to overcome it. And I'll finish just with a famous story, which I told a few times already also, that when the Rebbe once, I forgot already which year, came out with a proclamation that there should be a fast day, a half a day fast day, the Rebbe said, in a certain tiny shoyas. And the Rebbe said, because things are not good and that it's a stroll, actually at that time, we didn't see specifically that the situation was worse than other times. But nevertheless, there was a tiny shoyas that was done, and all the shluchim all over put into the newspaper that their Baba Sherebbe asked that people should fast a half a day on this and this day, etc., etc. And one of the shluchim in France got a phone call after this day, and someone called and asked him, is this Chabad? He said, yes, are you? He said, I want to know a little bit more about the Baba Sherebbe. So he said, come over. The guy came over and he started talking. He said, I'll tell you the whole thing, why I'm asking. He said, I am a priest. And I am a head of a group that were into astrology. He said, we're into, and we look into the stars and we see. And we saw in the stars a certain terrible disaster that's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael. And it was there, and it was there. And then we saw in the newspaper that this Lubavitcher Rebbe asked that on this and this day we should fast. And that's the day that we saw in the stars that the disaster is going to happen. And after this fast day, we looked into the stars and we saw that it was all wiped out. So we know that this Lubavitcher Rebbe has some power. Who is this Lubavitcher Rebbe? And this is it. So the Rebbe saw, and he knew that this is, and he was able to guide us and tell us what to do. But the bottom line is that Hashem makes it always that there should be things that should make us aware, if we have to be aware of what's going to happen, and we have to add in Tshuva, Tefillah, and Zakeh, and then we just disregard what the stars say, and we fulfill Tomim Tiyim Hashem Alekecha, that we're sincere and straight with Hashem, and we don't look for the future, we just do what Hashem wants, and if we do what Hashem wants, Hashem will do what we want of Him, and He will send us Mashiach to Canaan.